Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is Wednesday, March 13th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. Now, yesterday was an incredible day in terms of offseason. A lot of people are saying that this past day in the offseason was more exciting than the Super Bowl, and honestly, I don't think that's too much of a reach to say. It was crazy. And the headline, of course, is Odell Beckham Jr. right now is expected to be traded, because I don't think it's finalized, but he is expected to be traded to the Cleveland Browns in exchange for a first round pick, a third round pick, and safety Jabril Peppers. So yeah, this is absolutely crazy. It is the biggest blockbuster trade right now of the offseason, and I don't think it can be topped. I think this is more exciting than what we saw with Antonio Brown. This is huge. To me, this makes the Browns one of the most exciting, if not the most exciting teams in the NFL. And I was someone who was really big on them a year ago. Last season in the offseason when they got Baker Mayfield, I could begin to see what was happening. And a lot of people were still making the jokes that everyone's been making for the longest time about the Browns. But I was like, wait a second, guys. I think that's a little bit, you know, worn out. I don't think that's the same team anymore. I think the jokes are over. I said that earlier in the year, and this only cements it. I think a lot of fans are jealous of what the Cleveland Browns have put together right now. You look at what they have Baker Mayfield, an exciting young quarterback. His upside looks tremendous after that rookie season. They have Nick Chubb, who had nearly 1,000 yards. He had 1,000 yards at one point, lost for 996 in his rookie season. He only started 8 games. And then they got Kareem Hunt, who I think will end up being the lead back in this offense. I said Nick Chubb is a little bit shaky to me, but Kareem Hunt was a top 3 back in the NFL at the time of him being released. He is on that team as well. You add in Jarvis Landry, who is about as good of a slot receiver as you can find. And then you add in, finally, Odell Beckham Jr., one of the most elite talents in the entire NFL. That's only on the offensive side of the ball. There's a lot of talent defensively, but what is most amazing is the amount of youth on this team. Not only are they set for a window right now, like how the Jacksonville Jaguars had a small window, how the Los Angeles Rams kind of have a window right now, the Browns are set for some years to come. And that is what I admire most about this entire process. So the way I'm looking at it right now, I think the Browns are the best team in that division. And honestly, I don't think it's that close. You have an aging Ben Roethlisberger in the Steelers in that same division. He is a ticking time bomb. I've said that. There's a cliff coming when it comes to Ben Roethlisberger. It is only a matter of time. Juju Smith-Schuster, he has looked great so far in his very young career. But let's see how great he looks when Antonio Brown is not being double covered. I think it will be a very good awakening to what pro-level football is when you don't have Antonio Brown being double covered and easing the pressure off you. And then, of course, you look at other teams in that division. The Ravens are a team that have been carried for years by their defense. Their defense is being picked apart by other teams. We saw CJ Mosley gone. If their defense isn't playing at an elite level, then I wouldn't worry too much about the Ravens being a real threat. I know a lot of people are hyped about Lamar Jackson. I think once a team figures out how to just limit him on the ground, force him to throw, I think Lamar Jackson still has a ways to come when it comes to throwing the ball. And then the Bengals, I don't even know what's happening right now with the Bengals. The Bengals are a team that runs through AJ Green. It seems like they're kind of in that purgatory the Dolphins were with Ryan Tannehill. Everyone on the outside can see that Andy Dalton is not that guy, except for the Bengals. So right now, the Browns, to me, are the clear favorites. I'm not even saying that out of hype. I'm just saying that because look at the talent. At least on paper, there is no other way to spin that. So let's look at it from the other side. The New York Giants, this is kind of a head-scratcher to me. I don't know what direction the Giants are heading. It looks like right now, of course, after seeing all this, after the Landon Collins trade, after the Odell Beckham trade, it's clear they're in a rebuilding state. But it's just kind of a weird thing to do, to go out and get a running back, a guy like Saquon Barkley, who you know is going to be an elite talent, and just kind of having waste these kind of fruitful years on his rookie contract that are going to be very cheap, give you an opportunity to really make a push. I said the running back position is a luxury one, and you're kind of wasting years of Saquon Barkley. So what I think, not only am I expecting the Giants to do, but what they kind of need to do, unless they're going to waste those years of Saquon Barkley, is in this draft, they need to go for a quarterback, at that pick number 6 that I believe they have. And then now with that Browns pick, they could turn around and get one of the best receivers in this draft. So if you look at that, you have a young, talented running back, you have a young, talented quarterback, and then you got that potentially elite level receiver. If they don't do that, then I'm not sure what the team is doing. They're just kind of abandoning ship and keeping Saquon Barkley there to just, you know, be the lone threat in this entire offense, which isn't going to work out. And it's a horrible way to go about this rebuild, in my mind, for the New York Giants. It is a bit of a head scratcher. So yeah, those are my thoughts on the trade of Odell Beckham Jr. It's wonderful for the Browns. It makes them the most exciting team in football, I believe. Seeing him reunite with Jarvis Landry, it really did make me happy to see that. I wish that was something Miami could have done, you know, get Baker, Jarvis, and Odell on the same team, but it's great to see the Browns are doing it. Now, other news is that Cameron Wake was signed by the Tennessee Titans. Of course, Cameron Wake, he is a Dolphins legend. He is a guy who has been, you know, a glimmer of hope in some of this rough times recently for the Miami Dolphins. And he signed with the Tennessee Titans a 3-year deal worth $23 million. When Cameron Wake went down with that Achilles injury a few years ago, I thought, you know, at the very least, it was going to have some sort of a blowback, some sort of hindrance on his performance. But you know what? He came back and trained and really showed what determination is. He has been an utmost person. He has been a great leader on the field. It's a shame to see him go. It's a shame the same way it was with Frank Gore. It's even more so with Cameron Wake because he has been such a pivotal player for this Dolphins organization for such a long time. But it's just clear the direction the Dolphins are heading. Going for this rebuild, going for this younger look. It was clear this was going to happen. What does kind of shock me a little is it's a 3-year deal. I honestly thought that Cam Wake was going to sign a 1-year deal with a team maybe like the Patriots and go after a ring. But a 3-year deal is such a Cameron Wake thing to do, kind of go against and show people that this guy is not aging yet, that he can still ball out. That is what he is trying to show people. So one last round of applause for Cameron Wake. It's sad to see him go. Such a huge, tremendous asset for the Dolphins for such a long period of time. And then the Dolphins also made a signing, and it was cornerback Eric Rowe, a former New England Patriots cornerback. He also played with the Philadelphia Eagles. This isn't a flashy signing by any means. He is a guy who is going to compete with that for Cordarrelle Tankersley for that number 2 spot, I believe. He's not a flashy player. He's a guy you kind of plug in there and he'll have some good moments, but he'll also have plenty of bad moments. He is notoriously known for being the guy who was subbed in for Malcolm Butler at the last minute in that Super Bowl against the Eagles. He didn't do too hot in that one. Alshon Jeffrey was tearing him up in that first half. So there's a lot of bad and there is some good when it comes to him. I know Armando Salguero was kind of hating on it, like, oh, the Dolphins signing a backup cornerback, but you kind of have to recognize what it is. He's a cheap asset. He's not a guy that's going to change the team. He's not going to be a cornerstone on this defense. You just kind of take him for what he is. He's a cheap kind of fill-in guy that you can plug in there and kind of hope for the best at times with him. He can have some good moments. And I think if he knows the scheme well, then hopefully he can just keep the ship afloat. And I think that's more so what the Dolphins are kind of bringing him in to do. Now, the Dolphins also made another signing, and it was electing to keep wide receiver Devontae Parker on a 2-year, $10 million, and it's a $13 million if the incentives are hit, but it's a 2-year, $10 million contract for Devontae Parker. Now, this set my TL, my timeline on Twitter, ablaze. It was completely on fire. People were going crazy. A lot of people were mad, and not just fans. It was the writers, the beat writers for the Dolphins were also kind of scratching their head. Now, Devontae Parker's a guy who's missed a lot of time. All we know is that he has this potential, this raw, natural, untapped talent, but it seems like he is the one that's holding himself back. Not only him, but it seems like injuries that have plagued him. Some people have questioned his desire to win, his work ethic. That's all in question, but the Dolphins elected to bring him back for pretty cheap. Now, I don't want to be that guy who goes and spins everything into a positive, because I'm willing to give harsh realization when it's needed, But I think there is some sort of positive, believe it or not, that could be spun out of this. And I know a lot of people are going to hate on him. Yeah, the injuries are a real legitimate issue. His work ethic, I'm not sure about that. That's a narrative that surrounded him, but I cannot say for certain that is something. And then his desire to win, it seems apparent at times that he doesn't really care too much, but that could just be his demeanor. But those are all very legitimate arguments. If you didn't want him back because of that, and honestly, I'm shocked they brought him back, but those are all legitimate things. But one thing I could say in a positive about it is that it's a very low risk, high reward situation. If he does indeed shock everyone, then you got him for cheap. And that is a vital asset. He is still young. His frame at 6'3", 200 pounds, I think that is the thing that got him signed. Because if you look at what the Colts did, the Colts went out and got a guy that I was talking about, Devin Funchess. The guy's 6'4", 230. He is a red zone threat. He's a guy who's a jump ball receiver. The Colts looked at him. They gave him $13 million for 1 year. Here's the Dolphins giving DeVante Parker, a guy who has had very similar stats throughout his career. Devin Funchess had 1 year with 8 touchdowns. DeVante Parker's never had that. But yards-wise, production-wise, everything aside from that 1 year, they have been pretty similar. I think NFL teams place a lot of emphasis, a lot of value on the ability to make some of those jump ball, having a big body receiver able to make some of those catches that DeVante Parker has made at times. There are some catches that there is no denying. DeVante Parker, if he could do that consistently, he could be one of the best in the league. Those passes down the middle with a corner all over him and a safety that is waiting to lay him out and he'll jump up and go get that, that is something that is still very rare in the league. And I guess NFL teams value it heavily. And of course, there are so many small receivers that the Dolphins have right now. I could kind of see why they would elect to bring back DeVante Parker. I'm not willing to go out and say that, oh, the next season's going to be his year, because I've said that so often. I'm not going to say that. But I'll give him the benefit of the doubt just because it is so cheap, just because the talent is still there. If this system is able to get any sort of production out of that, then I would give him a round of applause. That would be a good sign. So, of course, a lot of people don't like this news, and I'm not going to go and bug you, and I'm not going to try to spin you into loving it, but you know what? It's cheap, so I'm not too bothered by it. It's not like they're breaking the bank for DeVante Parker, so that's the way I'm looking at it. Now, the last topic for today's episode is the Jets signing, and of course, that is running back Le'Veon Bell. The Jets elected to sign Le'Veon Bell to a 4-year, $52 million contract. Now, this is, of course, a good move for the Jets to make. They're a team that has struggled to find running backs the same way the Detroit Lions have struggled to find their running back for such a long time. They've been relying on guys like Chris Ivory, relying on guys like Elijah McGuire. Bilal Powell looks good at times before his terrible injury. So they have needed some sort of solid running back for some time. Now, their team is looking decent on paper. They have a lot of guys on that team that look really reliable. I talked about Jamison Crowder, who I think Jamison Crowder isn't flashy, but he's reliable. I think Sam Darnold, if he is able to just put up a decent season, I think the weapons are there. Quincy Anunua is a solid guy. Chris Herndon at tight end is another guy who has tremendous upside. Robbie Anderson can break it big over the top at any moment. And then now you add Le'Veon Bell. Of course, we don't know what kind of shape Le'Veon Bell is. There were all the questions that did he balloon to 240 some pounds or something? We don't know what kind of shape Le'Veon is. We don't know how good he will be in a system that isn't the Pittsburgh Steelers, a system that has really benefited any running back they plug in there. Looks like a superstar. So now you kind of have to ask, well, how good will Le'Veon Bell be when he's not in that system? And of course, I've been saying that there is going to be uproar when there are games when Gase doesn't elect to give Le'Veon Bell over 10 carries. If he does that ridiculous stuff that he was doing with Kenyon Drake and not giving him the carries, then good luck out there in New York, Adam Gase, because that is going to be crazy. They're going to eat you alive. But I can't say for certain that the Jets look like they have a bad team. Of course, Kelechi Osemele, the offensive lineman, he's a guy who could be one of the top in the league at any moment. There are rumors they're going to make a big splash for a center. So that could be intriguing. It really seems like right now the Jets are going all in on building a team through free agency. I can't say for certain it would work. It didn't work for Miami for a lot of years. But all we can do is wait and see how it pans out. Oh, and one final note. I discussed in the last episode how the Jets were getting Anthony Barr, a guy who I've liked his whole career. Well, I like that guy even more now because he backed out of that deal with the Jets. He is staying with the Vikings. He is staying put. So that was a delight to hear. Oh, and the Jets also got CJ Mosley from the Baltimore Ravens, a guy who has been an elite linebacker his entire career. Did they overpay for him? Yes, but they had the money to do so, so I can't completely bash the Jets for doing so. But Anthony Barr, good move there, man. I really like the way you're thinking. Oh, and actually, one final note. Le'Veon Bell dropped a mixtape, and I decided to give it a listen, and man, I don't expect this to be on any Billboard 100s anytime soon. That thing is kind of bad, man. It's kind of But, you know, that's all I'm going to say for this episode, guys. Let me know what you think. As always, you can follow me on Twitter. That is at Shady Steven. You can follow my podcast. That is at Via The Source. I really appreciate all the views, all the downloads. I have been getting a lot more listeners, and it is because of you guys. So thank you so much for sharing. It really does mean a lot. And until next time, guys, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via The Source.